Congressman Peter Welch, let's talk a little bit about the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, this was the great boogeyman of the campaign. You know, repeal Obamacare, repeal Obamacare. Now it looks like it may not be that easy. What are you making of all of this?
Well, this is where the Republicans are going to run into a brick wall that they constructed out of their own rhetoric. You know, they repealed Obamacare about 65 times in the past 2 years, and they never had a replacement for it. Now that they have authority and the ability actually to repeal it with the House and the Senate and with the president-elect, what's the replacement? And they don't have one. And what you're seeing is an enormous amount of scrambling on their side to come to, basically to find a way out of the trap that they set for themselves. Here's the thing on the health care bill. There's a couple of things in there that, frankly, are enormously popular. The insurance reforms, keeping our kids on our policy until age 26, letting people buy insurance even if they have a pre-existing condition, allowing people to stay on coverage and not get kicked off because they have a chronic condition. All of those were insurance reforms, and in fact, I think Mr. Trump indicated he supported them. The other thing is we've got 20 million more Americans with access to health care that didn't have it before. Now, they want to repeal it. Well, what happens to keeping our kids on insurance until age 26? What happens to the ability of a person with a pre-existing condition or a congenital condition to have access to health care? Well, you can't do it unless you have a big pool of people in the insurance program to help spread the cost of that of those reforms. So they're running headlong into a train wreck. Now, the area where we all have to make more progress is on bringing down the cost of health care. That's why things like prescription drugs or accountable care organizations to try to move away from fee-for-service and move towards value-based payment, that has to happen. But the Republicans aren't talking about that yet.
Well, Trump is. I mean, I think, Peter, Trump has talked about, being able to negotiate. He's a great one for negotiation. And I think that during the campaign, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he said he wants to be able to negotiate prices with the drug companies. I thought that was refreshing.
I did, too. And that's what I'm saying. I support that. That was one of the areas that he follows through on it. But in terms of repealing the health care law, what you're talking about is literally getting rid of things that are insurance reforms that have been long overdue in this country. And, you know, you can't have access to health care for everybody unless everybody helps pay for it.
Sure.
You know, it's something that when I was in Montpelier working with a Republican governor, Jim Douglas, the Democrats were pushing for access. The Republican governor, quite rightly, was concerned about cost. And we actually put together a bill that addressed cost and access issues because we understood they had to work together. The Republicans here in Congress aren't taking the Jim Douglas approach. They're saying throw this health care bill out altogether. So, and they're not even coming forward with any replacement. So this is going to create chaos for our hospitals, for our doctors, as well as for individuals. So it's just it's a bogus plan. Where's the beef? And now what many of the Republicans here are talking about is they'll repeal it but delay the replacement. Now, that is just an admission of failure, number one. And number two, it creates chaos and uncertainty. And you can't have a complex system that accounts for 18-19% of our total gross domestic product where what the system will be is in total limbo. So this is going to be a brutal reality check, and my fear is not so much that the Republicans who are so big on repealing with no replacement, my fear is that this is going to create a lot of hardship for a lot of our good doctors, our local hospitals, and for citizens that are really good people and just want to get better when they get sick.
You know, Peter Welch, I'm really a bad interviewer. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, and I realize I have been remiss because when I was asking you about Nancy Pelosi, somebody whispered into my ear that you had your eye on a leadership post in the House yourself. Is that true?
It's not. I'm a chief deputy whip, and Steny Hoyer, who is the whip, is the one who appointed me to that position.
Well, that's good. Chief deputy is good, isn't it?
It is good. But, you know, the reality here is that if you're going to be an effective member of Congress, much more important than your so-called title, I mean, this is with the exception of being like the speaker or the leader, is your relationships with your colleagues, your energy, the amount of work you do, your ability to put together legislation that has the capacity to get both sides to support it. So it's just a lot of personal work.
But Peter, the word whip has such a negative connotation to it. They don't do what you want. You got to whip them.
That's true. But you got to be tough, you know.
You got to be tough in this job. Okay, we only have a couple of seconds. I want to talk to you about the death of Fidel Castro. We haven't talked about that yet. I know that you have been somebody who has been for the liberalization of some of our Cuban policies. The Trump administration, not so much. The incoming Trump administration, what do you make of it?
The uncertainty about the future of our relations is much more related to Donald Trump's election than it is Fidel Castro's death.
Right.
You know, Raul Castro was in charge when we opened up the relationships with Cuba. That opening of the relationship is very, very popular among many of my Republican colleagues here, particularly, interestingly enough, from rural states. A lot of the ag community is very much interested in trade with Cuba. Also, you're seeing young people and also people, the younger people whose parents fled Cuba, having a much more intense desire to reestablish normalization with Cuba. So I think Trump took this position about him, quote, being able to get a better deal as part of his approach to policy by boasting and claiming he's the best negotiator. But as a practical matter, I think you're going to see in the Republican Party a lot of support to maintain the progress that we made under President Obama and Raul Castro.
Huh. I want to ask you about Phil Scott, the new governor of Vermont, the incoming governor of Vermont. You've been working, of course, with Governor Shumlin all along. I take it as the only congressman you become in the state, you become very important to him. What are the relations going to look like?
They're going to be good. You know, Phil Scott and I and Peter Shumlin all served together on the Transportation Committee. Dick Mazza, the chair of that, likes to say that's the he's the godfather of the statewide politicians. But Phil and I worked in the Senate together. When I was Senate president, Phil was one of our really good members of the Senate, and I was helpful in appointing him to chair a committee, even though he was a Republican. So I've always had a good relationship with him, a lot of confidence in him, and I've seen him race at Thunder Road, and he was, as you know, quite a good race driver.
Mm.
He won a good victory, and I think he's clearly going to reach out to Democrats as well as Republicans. He and I have talked. He's very concerned about the implications of potential federal actions on the budget in Vermont, and I intend to have my office work very closely with him and give as much real-time information as we can about the consequences to Vermont of things that might happen here under the Trump administration.
And it might be a good thing, right, to have a Republican governor at this stage of the game who couldn't talk to Trump.
Well, I think that is a good thing. And as you know, Governor Shumlin and Governor-elect Scott got together right after the Trump Trump won and reassured Vermonters that they would stand for Vermont values and protect people of all faiths and ethnic origins. And there'd be no discrimination that they tolerated in Vermont. And just what a wonderful gesture by our outgoing Democratic governor and our incoming Republican governor to just reassure Vermonters that Vermont traditions are going to prevail.
And what a wonderful gesture, Peter Welch, for you to be with us today. We appreciate it so much. Peter Welch is Democrat, Vermont at large, the only congressman in all of Vermont in office since 2007. Peter, when we come back the next time, I got lots more for you.
Thank you.